Hello and welcome back to my episode 3 of the Fundamentals of Investing. I am Professor Mahesh Agnihotri, your host for the podcast. I am a retired professor of accounting and finance for bachelor's programs and other higher qualification seeking programs as well for almost 4 decades in India, Oman and the United Arab Emirates. During this period, I taught basic and higher levels of accounting courses and also principles of finance, fundamentals of investing, capital markets and institutions, and applied finance in the area of finance. My interest in stock markets motivates me to write articles and publish episodes on podcast about the financial markets. In the last episode, we had discussed investment risk and portfolio risk management strategies. In this episode, we will discuss some tips for beginners who are contemplating to invest in stock markets. We will also discuss what are the points to be remembered before selecting a stock. Everyone wants to earn more money in addition to what they earn. And there are a number of ways. Some earn that by working overtime and some others work part-time. No risk involved in this, but a little more physical and mental labor needed. Some people who have extra funds would like to park their surplus funds in some class of asset or the other, but that involves risk. Investors could invest in term deposits or in real estate. Or some people invest in gold and some in stock markets. Some lend it to their friends at some agreed rate of interest. So, of all these ways of making money or earning money, investing in stock market is not easy as it involves risk. It is challenging. It requires frequent monitoring. We all know how all of a sudden COVID-19 broke out. Stock markets react to the information like terrorist attacks, geopolitical issues, change of governments at the national level, and other natural disasters. Some investors invest in portfolios which include a number of stocks. All stocks do not give you the same returns. Returns are varied. You win some and lose some. Investors could lose only what they have invested in a stock. It may be possible that an investor could gain 10 times more or even 100 times more in one stock invested. If he wins in a couple of more stocks, it is great, even if his other stocks don't perform to his expectations. Let me give you examples of some stocks which have done so well since their first trade. Take the case of Amazon. Amazon first went public in the year 1997 and its stock price then was just $18 per share. On July 23rd, it was traded at $2,986 per share. It grew 16,588%. It had 3 stock splits. Then Tesla's first trade price was $17 per share on June 29, 2010. And its stock price on 23rd July 2020 was $1,513 per share. $1,513 per share. It grew 8,900%. Warren Buffett bought Berkshire Hathaway at a price of $7.60 per share in the year 1962. Now it is trading at $291,621 per share. The most expensive publicly traded stock of all times is Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway Class A share, which was trading at $305,085 per share in the month of February 2019. The reason why certain stocks are priced so high is usually due to the company having never completed a stock split. And Berkshire Hathaway is one such company which has never completed a stock split. But remember, past performance is not a guarantee for future performance. In fact, no one can predict how a stock will behave with 100% certainty. A good risk analysis may predict the share price, but how far it is close to the predicted value is a matter of speculation. You know that stock investors need to do risk analysis. Remember, despite choosing healthy stocks, your investments may fail to give you the returns, particularly during certain uncertain times like the present pandemic coronavirus. Yet, people would like to invest in stock markets, obviously to increase their wealth over a longer period of time at a rate of return higher than the existing rate of inflation. Investments should always give higher rate of return than the rate of inflation. This point is important to be remembered. Some people use the rule of 72 to calculate the rate of return on their investments before investing to compare if it is higher than the rate of inflation. What is rule of 72? The rule of 72 is a method used in finance to quickly estimate the doubling time through compound interest. For example, using the rule of 72, an investor who invests $1,000 at an interest rate of 4% per year will double his money in approximately 18 years. But if you are investing in stocks, the story is different. Investors in stock market need to be very careful, cautious, and patient as their investments may fail sometimes. For example, when the stock price falls, the investment falls. An example, if Miss Ashna buys a stock at $100 and after 5 years, if the stock price drops to $50 per share, she suffers a capital loss of $50 per share. If you take into account the interest factor, the loss is even bigger. The higher the number of shares, the higher will be the absolute loss. Secondly, investments may also suffer loss when the price of the stock stagnates for a longer period. This will harm the investor, particularly when the time value of money and the opportunity cost is taken into consideration by the investors. Let me give you another example. If the same investor, Miss Ashna, had bought a stock of, say, XYZ company for $100 per share, and even after 3-4 years of holding, it is still trading around $100 per share. It is a loss of capital again, keeping in mind the interest and the opportunity cost involved. It may look no profit, no loss, but it is not so. It is definitely a loss. Yet another way, investors may suffer loss of capital in the stock market is when the stock price may rise but at a slower rate than the broader index benchmark. The stock price may go up but at a very small amount and ever so slowly. Let us understand this with another example. In this case, the same investor, Ms. Ashna, purchased a stock for $100 per share, and after 5 years holding period, it is still trading around $120 per share. The difference in the purchase price of the stock and the sale price is $20. Still, it is a loss. If she had invested in term deposits, maybe she could have gained more. The key to a good stock purchase in stock market is to look for great businesses which are great in demand and are likely to perform well. But even the so-called great businesses have failed to deliver for many reasons in the past. It could be that such great businesses have failed to report good earnings and a weak cash flow growth. When companies and even the market leaders do not report growth in their operational businesses, their stocks don't do well, and such stocks should be ignored altogether. If the companies have reported no growth in sales and the profit after tax has declined, it is not a good company to invest. If the company's compound annual growth rate is low, then don't think of investing in such companies. These points must be considered before investing. Examples of some companies with a low key indicator are General Motors, Kodak, Polaroid, Motorola, BlackBerry, and Yahoo. Now, this brings us to the discussion: what are the factors to be considered by new investors who have surplus funds and are looking to invest in stock market? Before we discuss each point, let me list out the 6 points first. The first is start today. The second point is set aside the budget for investment in stocks. The third point is to set investment goals. The fourth point is to set the time horizon. The fifth point, know your risk tolerance. And the sixth point, but not the least, conduct research about the company or know the company and what products does it produce. So, let us discuss the first point, start today. The biggest problem the new investors face is when to start investing. Despite what they may think, there has never been a better time to invest. In fact, there will be many incredible investing opportunities while the market is in crisis. Though, people ask their friends, their experts, as to when they can start investing. The simple answer is start today. It can be started on any day, but not on a stock market holiday, of course. There is nothing like the best day to wait for. To start with, you need to open a stock trading account with a financial services company and link a bank account to start trading. This means you are ready to start trading. The second point is to set aside the budget for investment in stocks. Having opened a stock trading account with a link to a bank account, you have to set aside your budget for investment in stocks. The funds set aside are only for stock trading and not for personal expenses on a daily basis. This should be avoided strictly. It is assumed that you have already set aside some amount for fixed income securities already, but it's not compulsory. The amount or the budget for trading should be only after you have budgeted for your personal expenses for about 8 to 10 months at least. You never know what is in store for you because of the uncertainties of the stock markets. The third point as per the list is to set your investment goals. The first step to an investment strategy is to know your investment goals. You may have short-term, medium, and long-term goals. It is good to have an estimate of your short-term, medium, and long-term requirements. How much you need for each of these, how much funds you need for these, you should know. You may decide to go on a holiday with your family or with your near and dear ones. Or you may think of buying a great car, or even you may think of buying a dream house. It is good to have some definite goals, which are a great motivation to earn, save, and invest. Now we move on to the fourth point, that is to set your time horizon for the investments to work. In line with your investment goals, you need to set your timeline for each of your investment goals set already. What you are investing for will go a long way in fixing your time horizon. Let us say you have decided to go on a vacation to Europe next year. You need resources for that. So, your goals and your time horizon must be well framed. If your time horizon is 10 years, you can invest in value stocks. But if your time horizon is between 5 to 10 years, you may think of investing in a mix of stocks and bonds. But if your time horizon is just 1 or maximum 2 years, then you can either keep cash or cash equivalent, or even you can invest in term deposits. There is no point to have a goal without a timeline. The fifth point is make sure about your risk tolerance levels. This is a difficult question as to how much risk I should take as an investor. This is what investors feel, or the new investors think. Yes, one should take as much investment risk as your investment goals require. The level of risk you take is known by the allocations to the stocks and bonds. But if you are a high risk taker, you tend to invest more in stocks and less in bonds. Risk taking is like how fast you would like to drive your car. If you could go where you want to go with a self-driven car, would you take this option? Or do you prefer setting your own speed with cruise control? Knowing your options can help you choose the best way to get to your destination safely and on time as well. The same is true when you are choosing an asset allocation of funds. The sixth point is to conduct research about the company or know the company and what does it produce. Investing is not throwing your hard-earned money into a poker pot and betting you will magically become rich overnight. You need to know, you need to research and understand many things about the company. When you think of a company to invest, you need to know or understand or research 7 points about it, if not more. The first one, who is the CEO and what is his business background? How long he or she has been in the industry? Does he have the right experience to run the company? If you have no idea about these points, then the search engines like Google, Bing will do the job for you. The second point to know about the company is the business model. It is not enough just to know the CEO and relax. You also need to know the business model of the company you are thinking of investing. Business models are strategies employed or strategies used by the company to reach greater heights of performance. Remember, every company has its own business model, which it thinks will work well. For example, some companies offer lowest possible prices of their products to their customers so that they can sell more and more and become leaders, or and they think that they perform well in the market. This is a business model. That is to sell at the lowest prices of the product. Lowest prices is their business model. Whereas some companies sell fewer products but quality products at a higher price and yet make good profits. This is another business model. Let me tell you that no business model is good or bad. To check the business models of the companies you would like to invest in, you can take the help of the search engines again, Google and Bing. The third one is the competitive advantage. If the company hires a great CEO and has a good business model, then the next point to be considered by the new investors is whether the company has competitive advantage, whether the company has edge in the industry, competitive edge in the industry. For example, Walmart offers super low price products to its customers. This is a competitive edge, which is difficult for others, for its competitors to beat them. This is a good indication of a performing company. Such companies, in all their likelihood, will perform well and may give good returns to its investors. The fourth point is about the revenues. This is called the top line, or revenues are called as the top line. Revenues are shown as the first line in the income statement of the company. In other words, income statement shows the revenues for 2 years. Investors need to check the trends in the revenues of the company for a period of not less than 5 years. the last year's sales, and even more important is to compare the current year's sales. This will give you an idea of the revenues. It is good to see that the projected sales for the current quarter, this may also help us to understand the direction in which the company is moving. The fifth one is about the net income. Income statement shows the revenues in the top line, whereas the net income is shown as the bottom line. Net income is also known as the net profit. For a business, net income is the amount of revenue left after subtracting all costs, expenses, and taxes. A good net profit margin is a measure of performance. Net profit margin can be calculated by dividing the net profit over sales times 100. A good net profit margin is over 25%. But this may vary from industry to industry, but should be consistent. If a company has a growing sales and a great profit margin, it is likely to do well and investors can expect a good return. The sixth one is debt equity ratio. Companies' financial resources include both share capital and debt. Debts are obligations to be repaid with interest. Generally, companies believe in debt for tax purposes, for tax benefits. But how much debt is good for the company is an important factor to be decided. This may change according to the situations prevailing in the market. What is an ideal debt equity ratio a company should have? This depends on prevailing market conditions, but an ideal, on an average, DE ratio is around 30%. A high debt equity ratio becomes difficult for the company to do debt servicing, that is, to pay for interest. This rate of interest also keeps fluctuating. And if the rate of interest goes up, the company has to pay a huge amount towards interest, which will reduce the profit. So, a lower debt equity ratio is preferred. The seventh one is P ratio, that is price earnings ratio. It is a good sign to have a company with strong financials. Just as you are prepared to pay a higher price for a brand new car like Ferrari, you may be willing to pay a good price for a stock which is performing great. Isn't it? A higher PE ratio shows that investors are willing to pay a higher share price today because of the growth expectations in future. Generally speaking, a high PE ratio indicates that investors expect higher earnings. However, a stock with a high PE ratio is not necessarily a better investment than one with a lower PE ratio, as a high PE ratio can indicate that the stock is overvalued. A well-run company with a relatively lower PE ratio signals that a company will do well. All an investor have to do is to follow a consistent, disciplined, and rigorous approach over time. If this is done, more often than not, returns follow. Patience pays in the long run. Let me conclude the episode by saying that having just the knowledge of these key points which you have discussed is not a guarantee that your investments will give you guaranteed returns. You learn by experience as well. Now my final three points are: number one, remember, investing is not like a 100 meters sprint. Rather, it is a marathon. The second point, you should find companies that you feel and agree have a good business model and backed up by good management. The third and the final point, remember, investing in securities of smaller companies can involve greater risk than is generally associated with investment in larger and more established companies, and that can result in significant capital losses. This may have a detrimental effect on the value of your investments, and being new investors, you feel discouraged. So this marks the end of the episode, and please like, share, subscribe to my podcast, and also recommend it to your friends as well. Should you have any questions, you may contact me on my email, agnihotripodcast@gmail.com. Thank you, and see you in the next episode.